It's a bright, frosty March morning, and today I'm out and about on the streets of Llandeilo, small Welsh market town, asking people for their attitudes to the issue of adoption. So, lovely to see you here this morning. Can you tell me, who are you? Pwy ydych chi?
Dan Morris ydw I. Dwi'n byw yn Llandeilo.
Right. So, for the English speakers, Dan Morris is with me here this morning. He lives in Llandeilo, and he's a Cymro. He's a Welsh speaker. Yeah. And you've been very involved in gardens and gardening.
Yes. Gardening has been a big part of my life. Yeah. Gardening and music. I can't imagine life without them.
Hey, it's lovely to see you out here today. Sunny day, bit frosty. How are the gardens doing?
I've no idea. I'm taking my second year out of gardening because I want to travel, and the two things don't go together: traveling and gardening.
Well, I'm
amazed. So what I do when I travel, I seek out gardens to visit.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't be far from a garden. I know you too well for that. Hey, good. Listen, now then, we've seen a lot of unaccompanied children turning up in ports and in refugee camps across Europe now because of the refugee crisis. Tell me, what do you think about adoption? A lot of people are talking about adopting children in. How do you feel about that?
I don't see a problem with it. As long as there's good vetting of the parents.
Well, the trouble is, of course, a lot of them are unaccompanied children, you see. And that's why people are thinking of adopting them. So we don't really know a great deal about them.
But the children are children.
I think you're right. That would be my view.
Children are children, regardless of who and where.
Big commitment, though. Have you come across people who've adopted children? What's your experience of it?
Yes, I have. I think, most of the time it's a very successful thing.
Good thing to do.
A good thing to do, yes.
But a brave thing in many cases.
Very brave, because sometimes the child turns out to be a problem, maybe. But I know people who have had that.
Yes.
And they cope okay with it. They're able to, let it be, sort of thing.
So a good thing in society. And a child needs a start, doesn't it?
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good. Hey, I'm very grateful for your time today. Thanks for stopping
on
a cold morning.
It's not cold.
Well, it is to some, see. I'd say it was cold.
No,
there we are. Thank you very much. Cheers, Dan. I'm Simon. Who are you?
I'm Sally.
Sally, lovely to see you. Nice morning. Cold,
beautiful.
Sunny.
Yeah, but nice. The sun's shining.
Yeah, good. Where are you from, Sally?
Killacombe.
Lovely little place. A couple of nice pubs in Killacombe, aren't there?
There's one.
We won't talk about it too much, though, because it wouldn't be good. I tell you, I'm out and about today chatting with people generally about the issue of adoption. Now, obviously, it's in the news. There's a lot of unaccompanied children turning up on the borders of Europe. Obviously, sad situations. Can I ask you, have you had any experience of adoption? People you know?
I do know a couple of people that are adopted,
They are adopted. Strikes me as a big thing to do. Quite brave.
I think that it takes... There's quite a process to go through, to be able to adopt.
Now, is it a good thing?
I think if you haven't had children before, that's a major thing, because it's a big new experience having a child anyway in the first place. If you've already had children and you're wanting to help others... Then I don't think it's so much of a big thing. No, because you're used to bringing up children then, and you're used to the trials and tribulations of children, and the joys and the struggles and the daily routine and
everything that goes with bringing
up children, because it isn't easy, especially when it's not your own children.
It strikes me as a brave thing to do, and I'm not sure people are encouraged very much, in these ways. I've certainly got friends who've had family before, and then they've brought a child in. Can you imagine? Quite a thing, isn't it? It's quite a thing. Quite a thing indeed. Do you think there should be encouragement to people
to
adopt? How would you think that might work? Socially or government?
I think there's so many children, especially now, that need adopting, and they need homes. And there's lots of people that want children and can't have them.
Yeah.
Or have already got children, and or want to help.
Yeah.
So many people that want to help.
Sure.
And I think the process should be made easier for that to be able to happen. Although I understand that it's very important to have safeguards put down.
Sure, for the kids' sake.
For the children's sakes, you know.
Sure, sure, because you could get malicious people or,
people.
Nasty things going
Lots
on.
Lots of nasty people out
there. Okay.
It's a really difficult topic.
Why do you think people hold back from adoption?
Because I think they're probably concerned about the adoption process and how long it takes. It can take years to go through that process.
I hear that, And, of course, as kids grow up, you don't know what you're going to get, do you?
Well, I don't think it's so much you don't know what you're going to get. You know, children are children. Each one their own particular soul.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can be the best parent and have... And your child has struggles of their own. You know, or you can be... You know,
that's a great comment.
Absolutely. You just don't know how your children are going to.
Got to be absolutely right.
They're all their own people.
What do you do? What's your job?
I'm a potter.
Wow. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? Right. Good. Okay. Well, it's lovely to meet you in the sunshine in Llandeilo on a Friday morning. I hope you have a really good day. Are you shopping today?
Yes, I'm doing some shopping today.
Right, well, don't overdo it now.
No.
Okay. Mind you go, because Llandeilo is a great place to shop,
it
and
is.
It could be a dangerous thing to do.
I know, I have to be careful.
Hey, I'm really grateful to you for your time. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Good. Every day, more than 50 children are taken into care in the UK alone. They're removed from chaotic, traumatic, abusive, neglectful, sometimes just desperate situations. And some of them need a home in an emergency, some of them need a temporary home until they can return to their families. Some of them just need an occasional home to give their families a break. But some of them need a permanent home with a new forever family. And in recent years, there's been a new awareness and understanding and a desire to help amongst Christian churches. In 2011, the desperate shortage of foster carers and adoptive parents in the UK was making headline news. A number of Christian leaders, all of whom were foster carers or adoptive parents, met together and recognised the potential for the church to meet this need. And in response, existing organisations, Care for the Family, Evangelical Alliance, committed to raising the profile of fostering and adoption in the church. And then after a year of working together and talking through and discussing issues with all sorts of folks, Care for the Family, CCPAS, the Church's Child Protection Advisory Service, and Evangelical Alliance launched the Home for Good initiative to try to make fostering and adoption a significant part of the life and ministry of the UK church. That was just consistency, really, with the faith. Not simply in terms of caring, but because Scripture teaches Christian people that adoption is an issue very close to the heart of God. And recently, at one of our farm meetings in Cumdi, we looked into what the Bible has to say about adoption from God's perspective, adopting a people to be his very own. Adoption is a word picture that Scripture picks up, Paul in particular picks up, and he uses to describe the new experience of God that people come into when they become a Christian. It's to do with your experience of God. And Wayne Grudem, who's written a big book on what the Bible's about, he says, adoption is an act of God whereby he makes us members of his family. And there's such a brief, to the point, concise explanation, but wow, what a wonder that is. God makes people like us members of his family. We're not necessarily that desirable, we're not necessarily that gifted, some of us are not that good looking, and he takes people who are outsiders, makes them his family. Now,
please notice this, it's not that people are starting from scratch, it's that people who have had bad experience of exploitative and possibly abusive parenting, in inverted commas, that have been brought into this position. So in Galatians 4, there's a classic example of adoption. Two main passages about adoption, Galatians 4 and Romans 8. And sort of flanking it on both ends in terms of the way the Bible books are arranged is John, with the stuff we've just been looking at. To those who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, sons of God, born not of natural descent, but born of God. And then in Galatians 4, 4-7, and in Romans 8, Paul uses the metaphor of adoption. And then in 1 John 3, John picks it up again at the end. So Galatians 4, what I'm saying, writes Paul, is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He's got to behave himself. There are rules, there are regulations. He complies. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. He's talking about the law and the old covenant. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sonship. The point of Jesus coming, the point of Jesus Christ paying the price of sin, dying on the cross, rising again from the dead, and we're around Easter at the moment. The point of that is that those who are under the law, rules, regulations, obey but you can't. So you're a lawbreaker. So sin is your problem you've got. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, keeping it, so that he could redeem those who were living under the law, this terribly harsh guardian. He did that to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And that's a whole different ballgame, because, Galatians 4:6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba Father, and is anxious for God, is keen for that relationship which reorientates conduct. So you've been under the law. You've been in this rules and regulations and punishment situation. And what happens is that this coming of age in adoption means that the Spirit of God has been sent into your heart, and that reorientates your desires, your passions, what you long for and cry out for. Abba Father, no longer a slave, but God's child, bearing the likeness, because the Spirit has been sent into your heart. And since you are his child, Galatians 4:7, God has made you also an heir. The whole picture of this Roman adoption thing was that you came into the family and got the goods. You gained the civil status of a son. Does that make sense? So in your experience of God, what's happened is that you've been moved away from the legal obligation in fear of punishment to regulate your conduct. In your experience, the indwelling Holy Spirit reorientating your heart. Hungry for God now, not resistant, resentful, but keen. Because of the privilege that's been given you, and because the Spirit has been sent in, crying out, Abba Father. So you habitually cry out to God. It's God you cry out to. No longer a slave, his child. And because a child, his heir, grateful, reorientated into a different way of life out of gratitude for what's been done for you. I want to suggest to you a status is conferred. And that status having been conferred is important. There are very many very fearful Christians about. We live in a world where there's a great deal of hostility to God and to the things of God and to what God would say and what God's about and what he stands for. and it's easy in that sort of context to go onto the back foot. The thing about being the son of a king is that you can stand in the presence of kings, even of kings. Rulers and governors are not a problem to you, because you're the son of a king. And the way that you handle yourself and the way you conduct yourself will be consistent with this thing that you are the son of a king. And you will not be fearful. Because you've been redeemed from under the law so that you could be adopted to being the son of God. And because that's happened to you, God has sent his spirit into your heart, and that spirit cries out, Abba Father, as if he is your sufficiency, your help, he's all you need. No reason to be ashamed. No longer a slave, his child, able to hold your head up, and your status is conferred. And that carries through into the future, because having been made his child, he's made you his heir. Caleb and I were somewhere last week, and somebody was talking about a soldier who wanted to go and see Abraham Lincoln, who was then the president. Now, I haven't checked this story, but it's a good story, that's all I can tell you. And he wanted to get in, and he met a child walking in the park, and the child walking in the park said, I can get you in to see the president. And so the soldier goes with the child, and they walk up to the White House, and they walk in through the gates, and they walk along the corridor, and they walk to an office at the end of the corridor, and the child doesn't even knock, he opens the door and comes in, and an aide springs forward to stop this happening. And the president looks up from his desk and he says, don't stop the boy. He comes on in because he is the son of the president. And the story was told from the perspective that if you are with the son of the president, you can come into the presence of the president. But look, the son has free access to the father because of the status that is his, because he's the son of the president, and it holds also for the king. It conveys a status. So Paul writes about this in Galatians 4, but he also writes about it in a slightly different context in Romans 8. We're related to God with the implication we're related to one another in the family of God, of course. But Paul explains how this doctrine of adoption brings together people from all manner of backgrounds and temperaments. You change family, you change orientation, you change status, and it brings about big changes in the behaviour required of the adoptee. I was looking at this and I saw some stuff by Krish Kandaya, who used to be a big noise in the Evangelical Alliance, and he's involved in an organisation, a Christian organisation called Home for Good, which is there to encourage and help and support Christian people to adopt children. And they've been very involved with adopting refugee children in recent days. And he's got a little video there. It's all about adopting refugee children. It's explaining how to put that child at ease. Because this child has come from where? Syria, Afghanistan, where? From a very different situation, culture. There are, I think, 15,000 unaccompanied children waiting at borders in Europe, the latest figures we've got. And they're on their own there. For one reason or another, there's no parent with them, there's nobody to look after them. And so they're concerned to, you know, bring children into adoptive situations. But imagine being a child that's come from somewhere or other, through maybe Turkey, and your parent has been lost. And you're on your own. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're into a new country, a new culture, new language, new food, new everything, and you're adopted into a family. There are going to be big changes for the adoptee. You will be using a toilet differently. To put no finer point on it than that. You'll be eating food, and you'll be eating it differently. Tone of voice is really important to build trust and confidence. You know, changes are being made. And Paul is writing to these Romans and he's saying, look, don't even begin to think that now you're a Christian, you're forgiven, you can behave how you like because Jesus paid the price, you can get on and sin. He says, if you live, Romans 8:13, according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now, he's not re-erecting the law. Because how he explains it is this. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, are the children of God, there's this identification. If you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you're the child of God. The two things go together. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so you live in fear again, as if the law was the big old taskmaster and somebody standing over you with a stick to beat you when you mess up. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. You're growing into the family likeness, you adopted person. And by that Spirit that you received, who brought about your adoption to sonship, by him we cry, Abba, Father. We're hungry for God. We long for God. Grateful because we're adopted, but reorientated from the inside out, that the Spirit comes and lives in you when you're adopted into the family of God. When you're born again, John might say. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Here's how you're assured of the whole deal. Here's how you're assured that you have become a Christian, that it is true, you are adopted into the family of God, you have been born again, you are saved. Because in you is this crying out for God and wanting him. The Spirit himself then, inside us, doing this stuff, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's where your assurance comes from, that it's worth it that you are a believer. Now if we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. There are two sides to the inheritance, actually. There's nasty stuff that happens in this world, but also, hey, there's glory. Changing family involves big changes for the adoptee. And there are new standards of behaviour, new ways of doing things and so on. And under the old relationship, it was all rules and regulations and big stick. The imposition of those rules using the mechanisms of fear. But Paul here indicates a new way of making those changes that are necessary in the young life. Being adopted into the new family of God, Spirit active in our hearts, gratitude, joy, reassurance, the hope of glory. There is new parental leadership exercised by the indwelling Spirit. And the changes that need to be made in the new adoptee are made by living under his leadership in gratitude for what's been done. There was talk of God as being Father in the Old Testament. Psalm 103:13. Isaiah 43:6-7, Malachi 1:6 and 2:10, Grudem cites those passages. But the experience of God as Father in this sense is pretty much something that belongs to the experience of the Gospel. And that experience is based on the objective Gospel truth that Paul has been talking about in the first 7-8 chapters of Romans. So what evidence do we see in our lives that we are God's children? God's children are led by the Spirit of God into his ways. And they're grateful. And they see him as family and they cry out, Abba Father, to him. They cry out to God. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The children is. And that is the hope which effects change in us. The hope that effects change in us. As John points out, not using the word adopted, but describing the nature of adoption in John 1 John 3, 1-2. Look at this. This is great, isn't it? How encouraging. How nice is this? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Children of God. What an honour. That's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Now what's the effect of that on a person? Knowing that comforting, great love the Father's lavished on us, making us children of God. What's the effect of that on us? 1 John 3:3, all who have this hope in them purify themselves just as he is pure. The effect of adoption is to change your situation, your status, your circumstances, your confidence, and your life. if you've got that hope in you, that's what you're heading for. That's what you're going for. That's what you're heading towards. It is worth it to live for God. So adoption follows conversion in Scripture. It's different from justification, and it holds out immense privileges as well as effecting immense change. The believer relates to God as Father. So when Jesus taught, when you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven, that figures. And that person who's now become a Christian, has been saved, has been redeemed, as Galatians spoke of it, from under the law, brought into a situation in a family, being adopted into the family of God, that person is drawn to God, cries out to God. Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6 both very clearly make that point. You're drawn to God and then led by the Spirit. What a privilege that is. You know, in a world full of not knowing, uncertainty, doubting, not to be led by the Spirit of God, to be led in the right way. And of course it means we're free of the old way under the law of having to perform and keep the rules and fear the big stick. Because you're set free into the liberty of the children of God to be led by the Spirit into the ways of the family, the ways of the Father. And it conveys a status. To those who received him, says John 1:12, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it breeds immense security, 1 John 3, 1-2. Look what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And if we're made sons, then we're made heirs. What is the Christian's experience of adoption? Adoption brings with it, you know, the liberty and the leading and the, so many of the things we've looked at before already. Made a son and daughter of the living God, brought into the family with a life to live, a status to hold, a security to enjoy, as a God to whom we cry out as Father, who brings us into the inheritance of the children of God. Big stuff. God grant us grace to live as children of the King.
If this podcast has raised issues for you, or if we can be of help, please contact us through the website www.ergroup.com. That's ygrwp.com. Thank you very much for listening.